Good evening. It's good to see everybody tonight. Hopefully, again, to worship God in spirit and in truth, and hopefully learn a little bit from the verses that we're going to be reading tonight. And if you were following along, we are going to be discussing the death of David's child. I know it's not very uplifting. It is a tragic scene that we are reading about in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And if you have a mark in your Bible, that would certainly be a good place to put it. We'll be traveling back and forth to that verse or to those verses several times throughout the lesson tonight. But the death of any child is a tragic thing. But we also have the added tragedy of the king being depressed. And so when you think about a king who is depressed, typically, and maybe not David so much, but typically a king, what they would do would be try to get their constituents to mourn with them. If the king's sad, then we all need to be sad. And so imagine these men who are with David that are so afraid to even go in and tell him that his child is gone. Imagine them sitting with him and seeing their king, supposed to be this strong leader. You know, David would have been very familiar with death in general, being the military leader that he was. And so he's seen death over and over, but this is his son. And so it's something a little bit different. It's something a little bit more tragic. And so you may ask the question, why tell such a depressing story? Why is this even in here? Why are these moments even in Scripture? They're so depressing. We walk away from them and we feel, you know, so bad because we don't like to think about something like this happening. Well, I can assure you if it's in there, it's in there for a reason. There are some things that God wants us to know as we look through a scenario like this. And so let's take a look for a few moments tonight at what we can learn from the death of David's child. Again, I think one of the first things that we can learn from this, and there will be three things, there's plenty of other things that we could do, and in this, it was almost a two-part lesson, but I thought one would be enough to get, you know, us depressed enough with the scenario that we wouldn't have to go through too. There's plenty of other things, but I think one of the biggest things that comes out to me in these verses is that there are consequences to our sin. This was a direct result of the sin that David committed with Bathsheba. If you look again in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die." So stop there for just a moment and feel probably the relief with David that Nathan has said, you know what? God is not going to hold this against you. Your sin is not going to be held against you. You have been forgiven of that sin. But he says, however, very dangerous word, is it not? You get all this good news and then they say, however. What was the bad news? "Because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die." I think David understood that God was not saying, you know what, that child is eventually going to die. I think David understood the point that God was making, that was very soon after your child is born, he is going to die. And we might think, why wouldn't God, you know, maybe allow Bathsheba to have a miscarriage? Or why does the child have to be born and then die? This is a consequence, a direct consequence for David's sin. And there'll be more to talk about that in just a little bit. David is going to have to live with this. David has to live with the fact that his son is going to die because of the sin that he committed. It is absolutely 100% on David here. Sin will always have its consequences. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. I think there are so many times that we commit sin, and in fact, there's a lot of times that the sins that we're committing are perfectly fine to the general public. They don't even see that as sin. And so we're committing this sin and we don't see the consequences of them immediately. And we say, well, everything's okay. I guess there aren't any consequences to sin. I think accounts like this tell us that yes, there are consequences and you may not see them right away, but there certainly are going to be consequences, even if it's in eternity, for our sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we're told, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's what you earn for living in sin. It is death. And so we see that there are always consequences to sin. But what I want to point out to you tonight is that this is not a natural consequence to sin. Certainly there are times when we commit sin that there are natural consequences to that sin. By nature, there are consequences to it. Right? Somebody, you know, drinks too much, gets drunk, gets in the car, you know, has an accident. There's a natural consequence to that. Because their driving was impaired or whatever it was, their decision making was impaired. And so there's this consequence to sin. The child did not die because David committed a sin with Bathsheba as far as fornication or adultery is concerned. The death of a child is not a natural consequence for adultery. This was a consequence that God absolutely put on David. Think about that. As you were reading through there, God says that he was going to strike that child. Think about that. It was God directed. God decided that this was going to be David's consequence for the sin that he committed. How difficult would it be to blame God in this moment? But David did not blame God. In the 51st Psalm, as David is pleading with God to forgive him, to restore him, it says, for the choir director, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. He says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. David said that sin that I committed is going to always be in front of me. Please wipe it up. Please blot it out as only you can. How often do we get consequences from sin and blame God for the difficulty of life that we have? I think people do that quite often. What I want us to understand is there are consequences to our sin. Just like all the way from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there were consequences to the sin that they committed. And God told them what the consequences were going to be before they partook of that fruit. But yet they still did it. And those consequences were theirs, just like this consequence is David's and David's alone. What I want us to gain next, and hopefully all of the rest of the things that we talk about tonight are not going to be quite so depressing. Yes, there are consequences for sin. However, we can always find strength in God. Again, our tendency may be to blame God. You know, think about being in David's position where God said, David, because you committed this sin, that child is going to die. That's your consequence for committing this sin with Bathsheba. Your child is going to die. Now, David pleaded with God. David fasted, hoping that God would relent, but he didn't. There was a consequence for that sin. how many of us in that moment would have blamed God? David did not. But it's not just about not blaming God. David doesn't just not blame God. Right? In fact, if you go back to the book of Job and look at all the things that Job went through, and what does it talk about Job in all those things that he went through? It says he didn't sin with his lips. Right? He didn't blame God for what was going on. And in fact, in many cases, Job praised God, thanked God for what he had before. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away, as we talked about this morning. But blessed be the name of the Lord. So not only did he not blame God, but he actually blessed God. And so we find that in David. It wasn't just that David didn't blame God. He went to God to find strength. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20, it says, "So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes. He came to the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate." Can you imagine? God tells him, "This is your consequence." And the first thing that he does, once he realizes that his child is gone, that God did not relent from the consequence that was on David, he says, "You know what? I'm gonna worship the Lord my God." David only blames himself, but he goes to God. He worships God to find strength. What about us? Is God our refuge? Is God our strength? You know, we talk, and we've been talking about, you know, COVID and the effects of COVID for the last 2 years, it seems like. But I wonder how many people take that situation, which, as we've said over and over, is a real situation, and it can be scary at times. I wonder how many people take that real situation, that frightening situation, and run away from God. And how many of us ran toward Him in those moments? God is our refuge. God is our strength. We can find it all throughout the Psalms. In the 121st Psalm, we read this, a song of ascents. This was what was sung as they were headed to the temple for worship. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber." It says God doesn't fall asleep on the job. He will uphold you. He will keep you. He will not fall asleep. "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going in and your coming in from this time forth and forever." That's what God wants to be for us. He wants to be our refuge. He wants to be our strength. He wants to be that place that we go to seek for help, even in times of consequence of sin. And so oftentimes we sin and we want to run away from God because we're afraid of what God might do. Yes, there may be a consequence. But David, in his sin, did not run away from God. The consequence wasn't going to change. But God said, "I will get you through this." And David knew that because God had gotten him through it before. In the 46th Psalm, just the first two verses, Psalm of the sons of Korah. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble," or in trouble, which we read again this morning in Bible study. "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea." God is a very present help in trouble. He's there. Right? Even though we may be in sin, even though we may have sin, God is there and we can find strength in Him. The last thing that I want us to study tonight is that we can learn from the death of David's child that there is life after death. Notice what David says in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. But now he has died. Now, this is again after all of these men come in and say, hold on a second, David. You fasted and you prayed and you did all of these things while the child was alive. You wouldn't eat. But now that the child is gone, how is it that you can come and eat? How is it that you're able to you know, kind of just move on in this moment? David says, now he has died. Why should I fast? What is there left to do? There's no pleading left. God has made his decision, and his decision is final. There's no more pleading with him. He has made his decision. His decision is final. Why should I continue to fast? Am I going to be able to bring him back again? Notice what he says, I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Now, I think this is important. Not only do we understand that the child is safe in the arms of God, but notice what David says. I can go to him. David, this sinner who committed adultery with Bathsheba, which caused the death of his child. In fact, he's a murderer at this point because he had Uriah the Hittite killed. And if you read down through there, notice the language that Nathan uses. Nathan is constantly using the language of Bathsheba is Uriah's wife, not yours. She's not carrying her. He always refers to her as his wife. This is what David has done, but yet David says, you know what? I can still go to him because he knew he could find strength in God. David knew his child was still alive, not physically, spiritually. There's a child that he can still go to. But even in his sin, David knew he still had hope. I can still get to him. And guess what? So can we. I watched a documentary the other day, and in part of that documentary, there was a man who had committed an awful lot of murders, bad things. He claimed of himself that he was at least partially responsible for over 30 deaths. And he was trying to turn his life, you know, back around a little bit. But basically he said, I know that my soul is lost. I know that after all the things that I did, there is no way that I'm going to be in heaven someday. Yes, there is. If you have breath, yes, even after 30 murders. I mean, look at what David has done. And yet David has hope. He said, I know I can go to my son. I know that I can be there with him, but I also know that he's not coming back to me. It doesn't matter how bad we've been in this life, how many times we've failed. It's what gets me up every morning. I know that I fail. I know that there are things that I can do better. I know that there are things that I leave undone and things that I do that are wrong that God would not want me to do or would want me to do better. But I can get up every morning with hope because God is my refuge and God is my strength. In John chapter 14 in the first three verses, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He says, if I'm going to go and do all this preparation, I want you to be there with me. Right? I want somebody there with me. I want people there with me. He says, I'll come back and get you. There's hope. He wants us all to be there. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, Peter says, the Lord is not slow about His promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. In a few weeks, we're gonna go over this verse in a little more detail. But God's not slow about His promise. He's being patient. I wonder how often that we've maybe gone to bed at night for our prayers or after listening to the news and seeing how bad this world is getting and how much further away from God it's getting. And how often I probably think, what are you waiting on? We're not getting any better. And then I remember this. He's not slow. He's not going back on His promise. He's being patient. He's allowing people opportunity. And I'm thankful that he allowed my father opportunity to come to the gospel. And there are many others that we would love to come to the gospel. God is being patient with them. There is life after death. And God wants us to enjoy that eternal life. No matter how bad you think you've been, God is not only able, but He is willing. And you put those two things together, and what a wonderful God that we have. He is able to save you, but He is also willing. He's looking for the best in you. He's looking for the good things in you so that He can give you the salvation that comes through His Son. But there are some things that we have to do as well. Yes, it's a tragic scenario that we read about when we read about the death of David's child, but there's still things that we can learn from it. And one of the biggest things that I think that we can take is that, is there tragedy in my life? Are there things going on that have really got me down, really got me depressed? God is our refuge. God can help. Even amidst consequences that are our own fault, God is ready and willing to help. Would you like to start that journey back to Him today? If you're here and you are not a child of God, there's time and opportunity, and all things are ready, that you can become a child of God this very day. Being baptized, being immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and having a hope of eternal life. If you're here and you've done that, and maybe like David, need restored back to God. Maybe you haven't sinned in the capacity. Very few people, honestly, will sin in the capacity that David has sinned in that we've talked about tonight. But even so, God wants to offer you restoration. God wants to restore you back into His good graces. He wants that. Not that just that he is able, capable of doing it. That's what He wants. And He's willing to accept you today. If you're here, subject to God's invitation anyway, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.